Thanks, Jonathan and Megan. God's not finished with us, is he? As individuals, as a church, and so that's exciting, exciting stuff. We're going to start off with our memory verse. It's the last time we're going to read this particular verse because we start a new verse next week. So we say the scripture reference, we say the verse, we say the reference again. Here we go. John 13:8, Peter said, "You are not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I am doing." John 13:8. Good stuff. You know, in our annual church report, actually there's some back there at the Welcome Center if you'd like to grab one, 2018, our church statement reads as follows. We are a word-driven church, a people who know God and are making him known. Lebanon First Baptist Church is driven by the Word of God to believe Christ is Lord and Savior, to become God's people, to belong to a faith community, and to serve beyond our walls. But it continues on, and it goes to our vision. And our vision cites that we are here to lead people to Jesus, relocate, function fully for the gospel of Jesus on one campus, and then throughout the community and the world. It still goes on because then it talks about our desire. What is our desire? Our desire is to get that job done while at the same time continuing ministry that works, fully integrating the Cedars, the property down the road, into that ministry, creating a new kind of mission center that is community oriented. That is to say, if you put all that together, to me that means let's go. Let's go, let's make this happen. This is where we're going. So get on board and let's go. So we're going to do a little series called Let's Go. And today's message is on courage. I'm going to talk about three pillars of courage. But right before Easter, you all as a congregation gave me permission verbally, right from where you're sitting, to preach it, to say it, to move it, to speak my mind. And that happened as we toured on the energy bus together. And the invitation was given to everybody to grab a ticket, sign a ticket, turn it in. I'd be praying for all those folks and stuff like that. You signed a word out in the back hallway here. And you also signed like the positive pledge. Many of you signed that. And all of that was done as an invitation to get on board the bus, go on and move down to our mission of a lifetime. Now, many of you turned in those tickets. You did jump on board. You did choose a word, and basically by doing that, you said, let's go. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go. We probably all have some fears and different things going on, but let's go. So I have been praying. I got those tickets on my desk. I have been praying for those of you that have signed those tickets. By the way, you can still do that. They're in the back, or see me. I can get you a bus ticket and throw it in the offering plate or wherever. Give me one if you want to jump on board and come along with us. And then also, I wanted to make mention that all those things that we had posted on the wall, the series on the energy bus, I promised it would be in a little booklet, and so Joan Guthridge made this for us. She took everything, she copied it. I call it the Cliff Notes of the energy bus. So it has all the kind of some of the pertinent information. It has the 10 rules of riding on the bus as well. So I heard a good one the other day by Miss Emma Biddle, who plays on our tennis team. And she said, well, how do you get Pikachu onto the energy bus? Who knows Pikachu? Okay, who doesn't know Pikachu? You won't understand this joke. But how do you get Pikachu on the energy bus? You Pokemon. Talk to Emma Biddle. She gave me the joke. I laughed at it. So again, by the way, Pokemon is another character, just so you know. So as review, we talked about 10 rules for the ride of your life as we get set to move to the Cedars. So I'm going to go through them real fast. Number one, you're the driver of the bus. I, as the lead pastor here at Lebanon First Baptist Church, am the driver of the bus over to the Cedars, and I do have a CDL, so hopefully we'll get there safely. But you drive your own bus in life, right? At work, school, home, etc. I and your staff, we have worked together, prayed together, and asked you to get on board and let me, in essence, as the driver, take us down to the Cedars where we can start some serious mission. Number two, desire, vision, and focus will move our bus in the right direction. And so we just talked about our desire, our mission, and our vision. And you can read on those, grab a report. You can read those in the report. And then, number three, we need to fuel the ride with some gas. And the gas for us is going to be positive energy. We have to be positive, uplifting. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I love Jesus so much that there's no one that's going to take my joy away. There are some times when I'm down, sometimes when you're down, but nobody can take that inner joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I don't care if I fail, if I'm victorious, whatever. I've got to have that joy in my heart. Number four, we're going to invite people onto the bus and share that vision, that desire, and that purpose with other people. So we want to be very inviting. And then number five, this is where I am right now, folks. Now just hang in there with me because this is more of a tough one. It says, rule number five, don't waste your energy on those who don't get on the bus. You know, pastors who are congregationally led, the stat tells us, can spend up to 60% of their time putting out fires and placating others instead of truly preaching, teaching, training, and equipping. And so for me, time for this old boy to stop running around and putting out fires. I'm going to move out for Jesus Christ. I want to lead people to Jesus Christ. So rule number five for me today is invoked. I can't waste my energy on those who are unwilling to get on board. We want to reach people for Jesus Christ. We don't want to constantly be putting out fires. Number six, post a sign that says no energy vampires allowed on the bus. There was one in my office. I've been moving it all around the place, so you'll see it every once in a while. If you are sapping out everyone's energy and bringing contention upon the group and upon unity, you got to be called out for it, including myself. That's only fair for those who are energized and enthusiastic about moving forward and making a positive impact for Jesus Christ within our community. And then number seven, enthusiasm. We know literally by now that that means being filled with the divine, and we need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. This attracts more passengers, and it energizes people for the ride. Number eight, love your passengers. I have to love the passengers, and so do you. Now, I love everyone, and I do mean that. I mean, even if you hate me, if you're not on the bus, you hate what I say, you don't like what I stand for, you can't stand my family, it doesn't matter. Now, I know that doesn't, none of you are like that. I'm just saying, I'm going to love you anyway. Because as Christians, we're called to love everyone. Number nine, we're going to drive with purpose. So we're going to focus on that over the next several weeks as we talk about building a new culture over at the Cedars, a culture that's a little bit different than here. We're going to leave our fear. We're going to leave our angst. We're going to leave our bitterness, everything. We have to leave that here and go over there in unity and love because we don't, right? If we just are the same and we move over there, we're the same. We've got to leave everything in the past behind. The Apostle Paul runs the race that way. Leaves it all behind and looks towards the future. And finally, my expectation is that we have fun and enjoy the ride. Even through all the ups and downs and the storms we may have to ride through to get there. So let's go. Now, here's the deal. After payday, which is coming up in a few days, you're going to see this slightly gray-haired, getting paunchy, seasoned veteran of church wars and rumors of wars and joys and ups and downs and struggles, all those sorts of things. You're going to see me pack up and get ready to move. So my office is going to be full of boxes. I have no clue what I'm going to do with the stuff. I might have a sale myself. But I'm going to do that so I can start getting ready to move to the new mission center. Now, right now, I'm just shy of 60 years old, and I really feel I'm just as strong as I was when I was 30. Now, I didn't say I'm as fast, I'm as smart as I used to be, and I certainly carry pain in my joints and ligaments that I didn't carry when I was 30. But I do feel I'm just as strong physically, mentally, spiritually. And so many of us have been praying and asking God to give us the hill country, which we call the Cedars. It's just a mile down the road. It's a piece of property that has been spied on for over 24 years, or right around 24 years, we've been spying on that hill country. And just like Caleb said in the Old Testament, we're saying, many of us are saying, young and old alike, let's go, because anything thrown in our way, God will grant the strength, even the ability to defeat the giants that may want to stop us. It is at that location that we want to worship and follow God by leading people to Him and to His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a true story about that. It's found in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. You might want to read on that. It's very inspiring. I'll let you jot that down and read that for homework. Now, I really have, except for that little piece, I really haven't shared anything scriptural, but I'm going to, so I want you to just hang in there for a moment. In order for all of this to happen, folks, we need to have courage. So I'm going to wrap up the next 45 minutes, and I want to share with you three pillars of courage. And then I want to share a piece of scripture with you at the end as the band comes up and plays our closing song. So don't fall asleep. Now, I was at post-prom. I wasn't like Jonathan and stayed till 3:15 or 3:30, or my wife did the same thing. But I stayed up late, 1:15. So this could be the first time I fall asleep during my own sermon. So I want you to keep me awake, and hopefully I can keep you awake as we move forward. So there are three pillars of courage. You might want to write these down. If you don't get it, you can get a DVD from Doug or ask me, and I'll type out a little outline for you. So three pillars of courage, and I think they're imperative for us to move forward. I heard a couple of these from a great speaker. I'm going to share one of his illustrations in another message as we move forward, so I won't tell you who he is yet. But the first is this: to truly believe we have an assignment from God. This gives us courage if we truly believe we have an assignment from God. And guess what? It's not to get on each other's nerves. It's not to gossip. It's not to go around talking about each other. It's not to be dysfunctional. That's not God's assignment for us. The assignment is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, where we read this, and this is from Jesus. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater." Now, I want you to understand, he sort of gives two commandments there, doesn't he? But it's not two, it's one. Because he ends it with, "No other commandment is greater." It means these both go together. They are one commandment. If you don't love God, you're not going to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love your neighbor as yourself, we most likely would recognize that you really don't have a good relationship with God. They go together. So courage dictates that we have an intimate relationship with God. It's a mind, body, soul thing. And here's the thing. It's simple. It sounds simple. Yes, Lord Jesus, I love you. It's simple. But here's the thing. Just because something is simple and laid out to us simply, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to follow, and it may even be difficult at times. So we get to know God many ways. We've talked about those things, God on display, Bible study, going to church, building relationships with folks, Sunday school music, praise and worship, and all sorts of things. Those things cause our relationship to get closer to God and deep. But then oftentimes there's a distraction, just like with the Israelites, that takes us the wrong way. We start running in the wrong direction. It could be money or power, fame, tradition. Today in our society, it's a lot of narcissism. So we need to step in the pocket like a quarterback and be laser focused, knowing all around us, someone is trying to break through the line and sack us and throw us for a loss. So we're going to get hit. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get tackled. But because we have an assignment from God, we have courage to get back up, once again, take the ball and step into the pocket and move forward the right way down the field. Is here where our purpose and passion needs to be bigger than the challenges. Willing to take some hits. Now, God is bigger than anything out there. So we will follow Him and we will stand in the pocket. Now, knowing our assignment and our purpose is one challenge, but a bigger challenge is finding the courage to follow it. And then, of course, to face the adversity, to face those naysayers that are on the outside trying to knock us down. And there's plenty of those folks, no matter where you are at. But listen to this statement. Our desire to serve Jesus, to know God, to make him known, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to make all that happen up the road at the Cedars Mission Center, our desire to lead people to Jesus Christ in all of that has to be greater than our desire to bring in money and people sitting in pews. Our desire to lead Jesus trumps all of that. Now, we all have to admit that we get distracted. Because in our world today, we're all a bunch of busybodies, aren't we? Wanting to get all up in everyone else's business, that's just how we operate. And that's why so many people, and you know, maybe you're one of them, they literally stalk the internet and Facebook. Lebanon chatter, everybody's doing all this stuff. What's that? My doctor said I went for my annual physical, and she said, Dave, you would not believe how many people I have to treat due to the internet and Facebook. I'm thinking, what? You're having to put people on drugs? Send them off to a therapist? You know, more people go to the therapist in the United States today than ever in the history of the world. And the history of our country, isn't that odd? Some of our guys have been through Vietnam and one, two world wars. And we're going because of Facebook, the internet. Wow. Now, that's not to say these mediums are bad. We need to get out some good information, but it's how we use those, right? And the fact is, more and more people are going to get care and help because of that kind of addiction. Now, all those distractions and more cause us to run the wrong way. I want to close with this point, with a short video, point number one. One of my favorite defensive linemen, some of you will remember him, his name is Jim Marshall. And I do remember this. I was 4 years old when I watched this. He played for the Minnesota Vikings, of course, and so it was one of my first memories. We watched it on a black and white TV. Anybody have a black and white TV? An old one in the 60s, right? How simple was that? The tube goes out, your TV goes out, you just go, and you run down to True Value. You say, can I have a tube? Yep, they give you a tube, in, and you're done, right? Today, we can't figure out how to use a clicker. Right? They made everything so complicated. If your TV goes out, you don't even get it fixed. You throw it away and you buy a new one. Well, Jim Marshall, he was always focused on his job. One of the greatest defensive linemen. But he wasn't focused on which way to go. Watch this. Did you see that? The other guy from the other team, hey, nice job, right, at the very end? Wow. Well, here's the good thing. When we lose focus of God's assignment and we go the wrong way, there's a biblical term that he allows us to do, and that's called repent. And repent literally means to turn around and go the right direction. You know, that only happened one time in his career. He finally turned around, right, and started going the right direction. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 reminds us that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's the end goal, the race that he has marked out for us, throwing off everything that hinders us. And so courage is telling us to step up into the pocket like a quarterback, take some of the hits, because we have a clear assignment, and that's to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Second pillar of courage is to be assured of God's promise. Be assured of God's promise. Now, God tells us in the Old Testament, he is our God, we are his people. That's what he told Abraham, and it's what he told the Israelites. Jesus tells us in the New Testament that he will never leave or forsake us. That is his promise. So we need to be assured of that particular promise, Hebrews 13:5. And add pillar number one, the clear assignment from God, and pillar number two together, and that takes us to Deuteronomy 31:6, if you want to jot it down, where we read the promise of God to the Israelites. Be strong, he says, and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of the enemy. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be assured of that, folks. And God will give us the strength and courage we need. And the final pillar of courage, number three, is then to trust in God's promises. To trust in all the promises. Belief in a clear assignment, right? We have that. We have the assurance of God's promise, of always being with us. And then finally, trusting God's promises, all of his promises, lots of them. And to find out what those promises are, you got to get into his word. Don't putz around with your faith. Get into the word. You have the Bible here for a reason. Read it. Don't blame me because you don't know his promises. Don't blame me because you don't have a deep relationship with Jesus. That's not my fault. You decide and you make that decision. Don't blame me because you feel that you're not being fed. Those are nothing but excuses for the lazy man or the lazy woman that wants everything fed to them and they don't have to do anything. It's weak. It's lame. If you want the depth of God's promises and his covenant, don't expect it all to come in one message on a Sunday morning. If you want to get in depth, I would suggest Bible study, reading on your own, Pastor Tim's study, the women's Bible study. I have one on Wednesday night during the season, and then on and off during the off seasons, we have some stuff going where you can do some in-depth stuff. Find a mentor. I mentored one guy, and we read the whole Bible together in a year. Once a week, we'd get together on Fridays. And just we'd underline the stuff we didn't understand. We'd just kind of go back and forth. Find that time, but don't make any more excuses because that's all they are. So God is waiting for you to not only discover his promises, but for you to trust in those promises and then know him. And so courage is a huge byproduct when you trust in God's promises. You know, I've been saying for years and a lot of times through the energy bus, Matthew 6:33, where we find, seek ye first the kingdom of America, money, gold, the UN, and all those promises. And then things will be added to you. Is that what it says? Is it? No. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he throws out this promise, all these things will be added unto you. And you know, in Matthew, in that chapter, you know what those things are? Food, clothing, shelter. And then there's this talk about a growing field. And I like that. We've got 24 acres of a growing field over here where we can start leading people to Jesus. And already have been doing that. So folks, we have to be courageous in this move. We have to know that God's promises will be fulfilled, knowing that, as Ephesians said, we are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God prepared those things in advance for us, the Bible tells us. You know, he prepared us 20-some years ago to say, let's go. That was in advance. We're ready to go. Are you ready to go? We need to stand on God's promises. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about our culture, what we want to bring over to the Cedars as we get set to move. As we get set to sing our closing song, I want to read you some scripture that sort of talks about what happened right after Easter. This is from Hebrews chapter 10. It says this: "So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. And so the curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. Let's go. Full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. And let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. And so let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the day approaching." Now remember when you first believed in Jesus, it says this: "Remember those early days after you first saw the light." In other words, after you first came to Jesus. "Those were the hard times. You were kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days it was your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some enemies broke into your house and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile, knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure, which is Christ Jesus. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. So stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion." Boy, that made me think of us moving to the Cedars, that whole scripture does. Listen to the end of this: "But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it, we'll survive, trusting God all the way." Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we continue our conversations and get set to go, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Help us be enthusiastic, filled with the divine. That as we get on this bus, the doors open for everybody who wants to get on, that we just have some fun, some adventure, unity, love. And as we go through some struggles together, Lord, help us to work all those things out according to your word. Not my word, not anybody else's word, but your word. Looking to you as the author of life. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this song, if anybody would like to come forward for prayer, you certainly can. I'd be happy to pray for and with you this morning.
Stand if you're able. The lion and the lamb.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week.